Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So good. And I have a weird one today, too, because, so we have a ritual in my house, which is burgers on Friday. The only food my wife really likes to eat is hamburger meat. That's only meat she eats. So we always have burgers on Friday. And so I said to her that, so are we doing burgers Friday, or are we going to do burgers on Saturday and have, corned beef and cabbage, which the boys will eat, and she'll make her own food? And she's like, well, I get burgers on Friday, right? I'm like, no, we're going to have a St. Patrick's Day without corned beef. So we're going to do it tomorrow. Because, you know how you stay married for 25 years? Yes, dear. That's how you do. You stay married for 25 years. That's how you do it. That's one way you do it. It's part of the process. Anyway, so not for me today, but I am looking forward to it later. And I bought my Guinness the other day. And, what is corned beef these days? Like $18 a pound? Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Also, if you're Catholic, we talked about this the other day. If you're Catholic, of course, there's a conflict because you're not supposed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent and instead do something for the poor. Sometimes some dioceses in the country have given out a dispensation to eat corned beef on St. Patrick's Day in Lent, but not here in Pensacola. The Bishop Walk said nope, no special dispensation for that. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, which is well within his purview as the bishop to not give a special dispensation. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, it would not be a St. Patrick's Day if we did not spend at least a moment and honor the most famous St. Patrick's Day story of all time.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears.
They actually, Gracie doesn't know the Mobile Leprechaun?
No.
Oh my God. There was news report from several years ago out of Crichton, Mobile, right? About a leprechaun found up in the trees, and then all of the locals doing their, the things they did on the TV report. It's unbelievable. It is a amazing local legend. Wonderful. In fact, the area of Crichton actually has signs up now.
Oh my God.
I saw it the other day on TV. They have signs up for, home of the Mobile Leprechaun, home of the Crichton Leprechaun. It's awesome. So yeah, it's super crazy and funny. Very funny.
This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
Oh, she's my favorite.
This guy helping to direct traffic says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wards off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
I want to go. Give me
the last one.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
And yeah, sure enough, I was just checking, and there's a welcome to Crichton, a great place to live. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Science Source. It's awesome. Oh my God, it's so much fun. My favorite thing. I can't believe you'd never heard of that, Gracie. Oh well, that's my gift to you today. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. I'm about to be a crackhead. I'm Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, and the Transgressors Memorial Service, or the Woe Unto All Who Offend segment, comes up right next after Traffic on the Fives with Gracie Wolf.
We do have an accident where we did have an accident earlier this morning at West Leonard Street and Northeast Street with a roadblock. Still seeing a roadblock in that area, so just keep that in mind if that's your typical route. But other than that, we are looking good with I-10 and I-110 not showing delays. Posted speeds on 98 throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre, as well as 9 Mile Road, Davis Highway, and East Olive Road. Nothing to slow you down. See something else? Give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.
You know, if you've got a company, you got employees, you got to figure out insurance benefits, health, dental, vision, life, disability, you got to figure out human resource management, payroll, all of that stuff. Look, somebody's got to do it, but it doesn't have to be you. Okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be you. You got into business not to run, you know, payroll. You got into business to do whatever your business is because you're good at it. You like it. You can do it better, faster, cheaper than the competition. But then you got all that red tape stuff that you've got to manage with employees. No, let Torgerson Causey handle that. This is what they're good at. In fact, this is the business they got into because they're passionate about it. And I know it might seem weird to say they're passionate about it, but they are. They're kind of weird like that. And I love it because they're good at it. We've been using them for about 5 or 6 years here at News Radio in Cat Country, and they have been fantastic. And they always answer the phone, and they always have an answer. And if they don't have the answer right away, they get right back to us. It's great. They gave us options that we didn't have before, saved us money. So if you want to do good by your employees and give them options and save money and take it off of your plate, more importantly, 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI. See dealer for details.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, traditional washing machines. Yes, last month, President Biden's Department of Energy proposed new power and water efficiency standards for clothes washing machines that reduce their contributions to the global climate crisis. Although we certainly applaud this move, critics claim the machines will cost more to manufacture and, because they use less water and energy, the clothes will not be cleaned as well, meaning that people wearing them will basically be dirtier and smellier. But don't you see what a wonderful improvement this is? Just think of the pride you can take as you walk around in your off-white t-shirt and rank jeans, knowing that your aromatic effluvia are the demonstration to other people of your commitment to Mother Earth. In just the same way that Obama-era mandates to convert incandescent bulbs to the overly expensive, short-lived, and randomly dysfunctional LEDs gave us the opportunity to bask in the dim and flickering glow of our climate devotion, these new washing machines will usher in a bold new era of filth chic. For years, we've been trying to persuade Americans to embrace nature by abandoning their chemical cleaning products that stand defiantly against the glorious fragrance of natural smells, and to stop waging their futile war against the beautiful, long, flowing leg and armpit hair. Birkenstocks unite! And what if we really embraced technological retrogression? Rather than seeking washboard abs, we could instead learn to embrace actual washboards and the clotheslines for drying that would so proudly proclaim the greenness of our devotion in all of their self-congratulatory glory. So come with me, dear Otherin, on the journey toward a climate-conscious lifestyle which is organic, authentic, soiled, and odoriferous. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, I want to take a moment to clarify our position on an important story in the news the past few days. Saturday Night Live featured a sketch poking fun at the heavy Irish accents of actors Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, which made the dialogue in Banshees of Inisherin as opaque as a pint of Guinness. The sketch also joked about the well-documented fondness of the Irish for everything made out of alcohol. In response, Irish commentators complained that this was a form of racism, perpetuating ethnic slurs about the Irish, including that they are dirty, incoherent drunks who fight a lot and always forget where they buried their gold. But these responses truly misunderstand the concept of racism. It is literally impossible to be a racist when criticizing the Irish because, well, they're white. As McGillicuddy's fourth mumble from a Belfast drunk tank states, a joke which marginalizes another group of people on the basis of their race only expresses racism when the person making the joke is white and the targeted race is not. So although the Irish are correct that they're being stereotyped, our religion holds that harmful stereotypes against people without color are actually a good thing because they serve to knock Whitey down a peg and help him feel a small dose of the pain which actual racism has caused over the centuries. This is why, for example, the persistent jokes about gingers having no souls or about redheaded stepchildren or the repeated theft of supposedly Lucky Charms are always going to be acceptable to our movement because they only marginalize people without color. And jokes about PWCs will always be music to our ears. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us acknowledge the progress towards complete gender meaninglessness being made by Wellesley College, the elite liberal arts school in Massachusetts, where the all-female student body recently voted to expand admissions to include transgender men. Since 2015, the school originally founded as Wellesley Female Seminary, and one of the historic Seven Sisters schools, has allowed enrollment by those assigned male at birth who now identify as women, and those assigned female at birth who currently identify as non-binary. But this week's vote finally also makes space for women assigned female at birth but identifying as male for this week. This means that the alma mater of such notable women as Hillary Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Cokie Roberts, Diane Sawyer, Nora Ephron, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is now both highly exclusive in most ways, but also highly inclusive in at least one way. The full Monty is welcome, so long as it wasn't born that way. Yes, the new Wellesley College for Women, Almost Women, Former Women, and Womanly Men will henceforth only prohibit one group of people, those assigned male at birth who persist in the irrational practice of identifying as men. As a gesture of their commitment to eradicating all concept of gender except that which can be used against men, the college also voted to stop referring to themselves as women, but rather as students. Because clearly, it is no longer in vogue for a woman's college to be composed of women. Although we do applaud all of these changes, obviously, and celebrate our dear Wellesley Otherin in their efforts to degender themselves, we do note how much pain could have been saved if this had only been done earlier. For those who may not know, one of the famous traditions at Wellesley is that upper-class persons each have a large wooden hoop bequeathed to them by former alumni, which they roll across the campus while wearing their graduation robes, each year in a competition, the winner of which was originally supposed to become the first to be married, then the first to become a CEO, and now to achieve success however she defines it. After the race, the winner is promptly thrown into Lake Waban by her classmates. Although this might seem like a strange reward, the tradition originated a few decades ago when a male Harvard student infiltrated the contest dressed as a woman and won the race, was subsequently unskirted, and dunked by the pearl-clutching feminists as punishment. Had Wellesley only been just a bit more enlightened at the time, instead of so publicly othering the young drag queen, they would have simply offered to enroll the poor gender dysphoric transfer student into the Womine Studies program, as they would surely do today. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Gathered round. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, sarcastic. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is St. Patrick's Day, and wearing her brightest lime green sweater that she borrowed to avoid being othered by yours truly during the show, Gracie Wolf with Traffic on the Fives.
Well, our highways are looking good on I-10 and I-110. We did have an accident earlier this morning around 3:30 that closed down West Leonard Street at E Street. That's going to be E Street and between E and Palafox. 98 in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. Nothing to slow you down. Gates of NAS Pensacola running smoothly onto base. See something else? Give me a call at 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
America's biggest banks coming to the rescue of First Republic Bank. 11 banks deposited over $30 billion into First Republic after depositors pulled billions of dollars out. That deal put together by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Two dozen Mar-a-Lago staff members have reportedly been subpoenaed to testify in the investigation of former President Donald Trump's handling of classified documents. And
just close your eyes.
Taylor Swift dropping four new songs overnight. The release has come as her Eras Tour kicks off today in Arizona, and that tour does also have a three-night stop in Tampa next month.
Taylor Swift, I think I've heard one of her songs.
She's okay.
Thanks, Dave. Pardon me, David. Thanks so much for the update. 6:27 here on News Radio 92.3. File this in the category of things I haven't even had time to deal with this week, but oh my God, for real? Yeah, no, seriously, oh my God, for real. It might make it into a future Transgressors, but did you see what San Francisco is proposing? San Francisco is sort of declaring themselves open to the possibility, not yet a decision, but open to the possibility of massive reparations payments. They're saying, okay, about $5 million to every eligible black adult is one possibility. The elimination of personal debt and tax burdens. Guaranteed annual incomes of $97,000 for the next 250 years. And making homes available in San Francisco for $1 a family. Just like 100 recommended. So the city appointed a reparations committee in San Francisco. I don't think they had slavery in California, but, you know, maybe my history's off, okay? So anyway, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, they hired or they appointed this reparations committee to come back with, hey, come back with ideas. Oh, they came back with ideas. 100 different recommendations, including all of those. One estimate said Stanford University's Hoover Institution, which does lead conservatives, said that it would cost each non-black family and the resident approximately $600,000. Or what in San Francisco is the cost of a studio apartment. no, but $600,000 per white family to make this happen. Oh, I love this. The group that came back with the recommendations, 100 proposals for how to make reparations. Zero cost analysis. Like, they didn't even bother trying to do the math for any of this stuff. So, and yes, in case you're wondering, well, how many black people will move to San Francisco immediately if this passes? No, you have to establish that you had residency there. See, they're not totally crazy. You had to live there for a certain amount of time. It was about less than 50,000 people there, and it's not clear how many of them would even be eligible out of that. And again, as a state and a city that never enslaved black people at all, it's kind of a weird one for California to be considering, but there you go. In the realm of things actually happening in these United States of America in 2023. 437-1620, 437-1620. Kites on the Coast comes up this weekend. It's today from 4 to 10 out on Pensacola Beach, tomorrow from 10 to 4. So time's reversed. It's the Council on Aging of West Florida's second annual event. Really good event. So go join that. And then next weekend, you want to go to the Gulf Breeze Celebrates the Arts Festival. That's the 27th annual, the 25th and the 26th. Join News Radio there in Gulf Breeze as we honor a bunch of local and out of local artists who all come for this big event. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
We've got another local lotto winner. We'll tell you all about it right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China's President Xi plans to be in Moscow Monday, meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin for the first time in Russia since the Ukraine invasion started. China's called for a ceasefire. Former Vice President Mike Pence falls on the support Ukraine side of the Republican divide on the issue.
I believe that America has an obligation to lead the free world, to give the Ukrainian military the support they need to repel the Russian invasion.
Pence there at a fundraising dinner in New Hampshire. There are protests in France over the raising of the retirement age from 62 to 64. And it's St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day is being celebrated today in lots of ways, including the big traditional parade in New York City. Organizers say 2 million spectators are expected to line Fifth Avenue and watch the marchers, bands, and bagpipes.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, stock futures, basically flat ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 News Radio 92.3. Right now, it is cloudy and 70 degrees. We do have a chance of storms later on today. We'll get more on that with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. An Ensley woman currently on death row will be pleading her case to try to get that execution thrown out next week. Tina Brown, her teenage daughter, and a neighbor were all convicted of the murder of 19-year-old Adriana Zimmerman in 2010. The girl was beaten with a crowbar, shocked with a stun gun, and even set on fire. That attack reportedly all stemmed from a dispute over a man. Brown's daughter received a life sentence. Heather Lee, that was the neighbor, testified against Brown and got a 25-year sentence. Brown has now filed motions claiming that there's new evidence that could prove she was not the ringleader in that crime. Her hearing set for next week here in Escambia County. Another local lotto winner, Baldwin County woman, hit it big with a $2 million Powerball ticket. 61-year-old Michelle Story of Orange Beach bought the winning ticket at the Floribama liquor store in Perdido Key. Her ticket matched all five of the white numbers but did not get the Powerball number. Former local contractor Jesse Lacoste says he's planning to hire a private attorney. Now, this after a court appearance yesterday in Okaloosa County. Lacoste is facing charges there of contractor fraud between $20,000 and $200,000. Lacoste was given the choice of hiring an attorney or being appointed a public defender, and he's due back in court in May there. He's also scheduled in court today here in Escambia County on separate charges and faces additional charges in Santa Rosa County as well. That deadly workplace accident in Cantonment was ruled an accident by the sheriff's office. OSHA continuing to investigate there. They haven't confirmed any details of the investigation, but they do list guidelines on their website that workplaces are supposed to enforce to prevent fatal workplace accidents, such as the one that happened on Wednesday, one of those requiring an entry permit that includes identifying hazards and precautions taken. So far, there's no word on if those measures were taken before the worker went into the cement mixer at that business on Wednesday. The city of Pensacola's Parks and Rec Department has been awarded a $1.7 million grant to support after-school programs at city community centers. The grant was awarded this week by the Escambia Children's Trust. The funds will allow the city to offer after-school programs at no cost to kids whose families qualify for free or reduced lunch. It'll also fund a full-time out-of-school time coordinator. A man that shot at a group of bikers at a Circle K on 9 Mile Road, then wrote a rap song about it, was sentenced to 15 years in prison yesterday. A jury found 34-year-old Delaney Battle Donson guilty. According to a press release, surveillance video showed Battle Donson instigating a confrontation with a group of motorcycle club members. And during his trial, Battle Donson had claimed self-defense, but the surveillance video showed that he indiscriminately fired off over 40 rounds. Now, nobody was hurt in that shooting, but the gunshots did cause thousands of dollars of damage to the motorcycles. It is 6:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Gracie.
We do have a road closed. That's going to be West Leonard Street at East Street due to an accident we had around 3:30 this morning. So just keep that in mind that that is going to still continue to be blocked off in that area. I-10 and I-110 not showing any delays, as well as 29 and 90. Looking good. See something else on the roads? Give me a call to 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as you go throughout the late morning into the afternoon hours. A few storms could be strong weather alert day because of the sphere threat. High near 77 degrees for today with lows dropping near 45. Showers and thunderstorms will come to an end by the overnight period, and we're going to be seeing a much calmer day on Saturday. High near 55 Saturday afternoon with a 40% chance of a stray shower. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 42, and by Sunday, sunshine returns with a high near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 70 right now. Cloudy skies in Pensacola. 70 in Gulf Breeze. 68 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. One day ago, 11 of America's largest banks, including so-called too big to fail banks like Chase and Citi, rode to the rescue of First Republic, injecting the faltering bank with $30 billion in uninsured deposits. While that helped stock prices climb yesterday, it's doing nothing for regional bank stocks today. That includes First Republic itself. Shares are down 9% pre-market after the bank also suspended its dividend yesterday. Across Wall Street, futures are mixed ahead of the last trading session in a volatile week, though yesterday's bank-related reassurances pushed the market to weekly gains as indexes closed the day up at least 1% each. Back in January, Google laid off about 6% of its workforce, roughly 12,000 employees total. At the time, the tech giant said workers' severance pay would include their remaining time off, but now former Google employees say that's not the case. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, I know Alex Andrade is jamming on his phone as he's listening to this. We always try to give people the music that they'll enjoy, and I know Alex, much like Senator Marco Rubio, likes their old school rap. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2. That is the southern half of Escambia County and the waterfront areas of Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I was appreciative of the going back to the old school rap this morning. That was nice. Thank you.
You bet. Always. So you had two national news-making bills this week in committee. In both cases, you survived, although I think in one case you had a little bit more spittle on you from from the upset constituents around the state. House Bill 999 was the one that's going to reform higher education and basically put it in line with laws that the legislature passed last year about, you know, racial identity and gender studies and tenure and a bunch of other things, right?
Yeah. And that was presented on, if memory serves me now, it's been a long week, Monday.
It was Monday, yeah. Long week, right.
And then Tuesday we presented the defamation bill.
Yeah, that one, you know, it's interesting. I listened to that and I was kind of surprised. I was not surprised that you got such vehement reaction on HB 999. That's, of course, no surprise. I was surprised you didn't get more pushback on HB 991, the bill that would seek to change some of the ways we handle defamation in the state of Florida. But you gave a really interesting comment in that hearing because people were saying, well, won't journalists be afraid to publish because of the changed standards on anonymous sources? And you said something that you had talked to a bunch of journalists, and what did they say to you?
That the circumstances that would trigger certain types of like liability under this bill at all, they've never engaged in the actions that would fall under those circumstances. They all refuse to ever say that they'd even consider relying on a single source before publishing a statement of fact.
This is not you going out and canvassing journalists. This is when they found out about this bill, and a lot of media corporations have taken a stance against this bill because they're worried about what it would do to their ability to report from anonymous sourcing at all. And they called you and asked, right? I mean, how many journalists called you to ask? I'm just curious. I assume it's a bunch.
No, countless. If you just Google HB 991, you'll see an endless number of articles from, you know, every news outlet in the country and internationally talking about it. I think the biggest issue though with the defamation bill is people keep misconstruing and misunderstanding that calling someone a name is not defamation. And I keep trying to differentiate for folks the differences between statements of opinion and statements that would constitute defamation. And I think if more folks kind of understood that actual difference, the debate on this bill would be different.
Yeah, and I loved the explanation that you very persistently and clearly and had to repeatedly give to the non-lawyers, which is fair. Non-lawyers don't always understand these things. On the committee was, look, it has to be false. You know, it has to be false. That's one thing. So truth is always a defense, as anybody who knows defamation law knows. But also, if you're going to write a story based on an anonymous source, if that's all you do and it's false and defamatory, that's a problem. But if you go and seek corroboration, a second source, if you do due diligence in order to try to confirm it, then it would no longer fall afoul of this statute. So basically, a journalist has to go to print with a false defamatory statement from a single anonymous source in order to run afoul of what you're trying to make law, right?
Yes, and I'm working, you know, right now with, you know, the lawyers in the Florida House on maybe even, you know, tightening that language up to make it just like hit you upside the head, explicit, just so obvious that that's what this language says. Sometimes when you're a lawyer and you kind of have a comfort level with a chapter in Florida law,
sure,
you think about it in a different way, like for the liability for newspapers. Well, throughout this, you know, debate on this bill, I know that, you know, Chapter 770 has certain kind of like safe harbors for news publications. And we also require 5 days notice by a potential plaintiff to a publication before they can file suit. And we provide a safe harbor for news publications where if they do a true, fair, and full retraction, and the plaintiff still wants to file a lawsuit, if they've done a fair and full retraction of the defamatory statement, that plaintiff is limited only to their actual damages. They won't get emotional damages. They won't get punitive damages. They won't get statutorily inferred damages, like if our bill passes, but only actual damages. And as we've discussed, it's impossible to prove those in a defamation case.
Well, and that's what I thought was useful about the hearing is a bill that in the headlines read in Los Angeles sounds like the end of the world on some subject. When you go and actually read the bill and listen to the debate and hear the bill sponsor, in this case you, whether it's 999 or 991 or a bunch of other things, you find out, oh, you know, oh, there's more to this that makes sense than we had originally thought. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. Let's get Gracie Wolf in here with traffic on the fives.
No major slowdowns to report. We do have West Leonard Street in between East Street and North Palafox closed off due to an accident we had earlier this morning. So just keep that in mind. 98 looking good, as well as Highway 90 throughout Milton and Pace. See something else? Give me a call to the traffic line. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, we learned this week from Senate President Kathleen Pasadomo that there is no bill, companion bill, in the Senate for the reducing of the gun purchase age from 21 to 18. She has no intent to take it up. No members have brought the bill forward. And she wouldn't quite say it was dead, but she basically implied that that was the case. Are you disappointed that the Senate won't bring up this companion bill?
Andrew, it is still early in session.
I love that optimism.
There's no room right now for any discussion on any bill being dead, except for maybe that blogger bill, because when you have the governor come out and a leader in one of the two chambers come out on the same day and say they hate that bill and want it to die, that's the only bill I would say is dead.
Okay. All right.
That bill that would require bloggers to register and do some like political campaign finance reporting. That's the only one I would say is dead. Everything else is still very much in play.
Okay. And by the way, that was a terrible bill. I mean, genuinely terrible bill. Sort of the what were you thinking kind of bill. Yesterday, the big news was that the House voted for the school voucher expansion, the one that would, unless something has changed, my concern about this has been expanding it to every student who goes to a private school, regardless of income thresholds or quality of schools in their district. And that's the way the final bill read, right?
Yeah, and there's going to be some silver linings. I think especially folks in Northwest Florida, I don't want to kind of like tip my hat too much, but I think school districts in Northwest Florida are going to be very, very excited at how we approach providing these vouchers, to students. I think it can be truly like a win-win for public school districts and for families who want to pursue these vouchers. And so I am very excited to kind of show that and walk folks through that as we present the budget next week and the week after.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And just one last quick thing, something that actually started with residents, more so in Joel Rudman's district, but also, I mean, you cover part of Santa Rosa County, and the bill to allow for recall, a vote on the ballot to change the Constitution to allow for recall of county commissioners for cause, much like the charter counties have right now, that would make it so all the counties have this capability. That and a couple of other interesting reforms still working their way through, but you know, I don't think any of your committees have yet heard the recall commissioner vote, but still kind of cool to see a bill that local citizens start here in the area and get all the way up. You know, the Recall Florida movement kind of started in Santa Rosa County, gets it to the State House, and it looks like it might be on its way towards a vote, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's moving through committee. I think Joel's got two bills that I think I've seen him present, two or three. So, no, he's doing great. He's working his tail off.
Yeah, he actually made the joke about that. This wasn't actually my first presentation, which I thought was adorable. It was kind of cute to see that. You know, your first house or your first year in session, it's always a big, steep learning curve. Well, Alex Andrade, by the way, are you wearing green today? I can't see you. You're wearing green today?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Pinch yourself for me. I would pinch you if you were in
a haven't put around. A tie on yet.
It's the one case in which battery is legal in America. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2 in the State House. Alex, thanks for all you do for us, keeping us informed and making the drive back and forth all the time to go to Tallahassee. I appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
651 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of that, they were doing a little story on TV about why, you know, like your weathercasters, you know, your weather people cannot wear green. You'll just think it through for 2 seconds. You'll understand. There's a reason that they cannot wear green. So don't pinch Brooke Richardson if you see her not wearing green. She has good, legitimate reasons for not being able to wear green while she is on television. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about selling your home, get an expert opinion. You know, an expert opinion about if now is the right time, if things are going to change to the better or the worse, what the price is, what the demand signals are, what homeowners are, or what home buyers are looking for and what they're looking to avoid. And are any of those things features of your home that maybe you can fix or tidy up? Because that's always possible. That's Christina Leavenworth. She's genuinely an expert about this. Like, she is now only 6 years in the business. She's teaching other realtors how to do what she does. Because, you know, when you sell a couple hundred homes in a year, last year and the year before, people want to know, how are you so successful? Well, you know, she does a lot of stuff, lots of stuff. Mainly, she thinks about each home like it's her own. She really does. She thinks about every house she sells as if it's her house to sell, and that's what makes her so good at what she does. So talk to her, get her input, get her advice, 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Daryl Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of machines plus a large selection of furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Coming up March 17th and 18th, find Daryl's at the Pensacola Quilts 2023 Quilt Show at the Pensacola Fairgrounds. Sponsored by the Pensacola Quilters Guild. Daryl's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, 850-438-5444. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
National average for a gallon of gas is $3.45. Florida is $3.46. We are actually above the national average for the first time in a long time. Texas, $3.04, and California is $4.87. If you're in Navarre this morning, $3.17 east and west of the Walmarts. That hasn't changed really much, so that's good news. $3.17 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy across the street. $3.25 at the Exxon in Gulf Breeze. If you're in Milton at the CEFCO, $3.15, $3.14 in Pea Ridge at the Murphy. And a rare reversion of the normal in Pace, get it at the Circle K. That's 319. If you wait till the Tom Thumb, it's 324. Getting over into Pensacola right now, I got 309 at the Neighborhood Market on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Best price coming in from the southwest side. Wow. That's, I'm just, the Citgo at Garden has 333. Don't go there. I mean, but the TNC on Navy has 312, or the Murphy on Navy has 318. 655 News Radio 92.3. Gracie Wolf sitting in for Candy. Her last day sitting in. Candy will be back on Monday. It's like yay and awe at the same time, right? Because okay. You guys are all fantastic. Anyway, Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Well, our roads are looking good. 29 north and southbound, not going to show anything to slow you down, as well as Highway 90 throughout Pensacola and Milton and Pace. We did have an accident around 3:30 this morning on West Leonard Street. This is going to be in between E Street and Palafox. It's still going to be blocked off there, so just keep that in mind. 98 in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre posted speeds. If you see something else or you have some details, please give me a call to the traffic line. That number is 850-262-6111. And this traffic report brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox, Knox them out. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
All right, thanks so much, Gracie. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House says decisions over the safety of medications should be left up to the FDA.
This is about FDA's authority to make its independent, evidence-based decision on drugs.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, this as a Texas judge considers whether access to mifepristone should end. The judge heard arguments in that case this week, challenging the FDA's approval. It was approved first in 2000. Senator Marco Rubio says the U.S. should be flying more drones over the Black Sea after Russian jets forced one out of the sky this week. He says more drones should be deployed to the region alongside U.S. fighter jets that can respond to threats. And Chinese President Xi Jinping is meeting up with Vladimir Putin in Moscow next week. China's foreign ministry says they'll be urging peace and promoting talks. The Kremlin says they're discussing strategic cooperation.
All right. Thanks so much, David. It's 657 News Radio 92.3. Somebody texted me and said they were at the House meeting yesterday in person when they were talking about that HB1, the vouchers bill. And obviously, major contention point is that the vouchers would go to even anybody who's wealthy, millionaires whose children are already in private school, right? So it's not accomplishing anything new for the state. We're just spending the money. This person texted and said that somebody proposed an amendment for the eligibility at 500% of the poverty level, five times the poverty line, and that was voted down. Which, again, that's not surprising because that's what happened in committee, too. But, yeah, this has been my argument against this bill all along is I love vouchers. I believe in them. It's important to expand choice for kids, especially in bad school districts. And you gotta send the money out in order to create the seats so that you will eventually have a place for those kids to go, because you get the capacity is the problem. We just don't have enough capacity in private or non-traditional schools. But I don't see the value to the state of giving a voucher to parents of kids who already go to private school and whose parents already make an enormous amount of money. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I favor some kind of a limit. All right, 6:58, time for future news. That's when normally Candy, but today we have Gracie, our last day with us, doing future news, telling you what's going to happen before it actually happens. A bill to reduce the gun purchase age from 21 to 18 does not exist in the Senate, but Alex Andrade, you heard him, he said it's way too early to say that means the issue is dead this year. My backdoor read of that comment is that you might expect to see a Senate bill this year, so I don't think, he did not say that, I'm inferring in between the lines. Do you think we'll get that bill in the Senate?
I think so.
I actually, I didn't before. And yeah, Especially with Kathleen Pasadomo's comments, I didn't. But weirdly, I'm more optimistic now than I was before. Recall of county commissioners, will we get to vote on that?
Yes.
Yes, we will. We'll talk about that in depth coming up next. And we got 16 games today. How many upsets will we have today in the tournament?
For March Madness?
Yes, yes.
16? Kidding.
Yeah, I think there will be some. Man, there were some big ones yesterday. I say two or three, if not more, today.
You're listening to
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.